Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet presence in this place. As we go into your word this morning, we recognize it's the living word of God. And so, Father, I come to humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, have mercy on me. Grant me fresh unction and mercy every step of the way, so that I will bring forth a word of life. Lord, in purity and in clarity, in power and in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, that this word will bring an edifying, a lifting up, a strengthening into our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, I pray that it will do an internal and eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds, Father, illuminated with revelation knowledge from your word, and our emotions, Father, controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we can be doers of the things that we learn and be transformed by our doing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also pray for mercy. Have mercy. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time. Not saying unnecessary things, so that I will be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, an oracle of God, through whom you will speak your words unto your people. Let your will be done. Let all the honor and all the glory and all the praise go to you. For you are worthy. You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for what he's doing, because it's obvious that this is not the work of a human being, it's the work of God. And that Bible study this morning, really powerful, really has said it all. God doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to go deeper and deeper and deeper and enter into the holiest of all, and come out as a living epistle that men can read, that men can interact with and know that he is a living God. This word this morning is entitled, Understanding and Knowing God's Ways. Understanding and Knowing God's Ways. Incidentally, that scripture that mommy often reads from says, that be not as a mule that lacks understanding. These are days when we need to understand God and know him, because everything depends on it. In Psalm 103 verse 7, brethren upstairs, you have to move quickly with me. The Bible says that he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Now God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But ultimately, God desires that we know his thoughts, and he wants us to walk in his ways. That is his desire. But at the beginning, there is a gap between us and God. But God's aim and God's purpose, like we heard preached beautifully this morning, is for that gap to close. So like he said, we will sit with him in his throne, and there'll be no gap from the outer court straight to the throne room. So Christianity is a journey. Getting born again is a start, but it is not the end. And in Psalm 67 verse 1 and 2, amplify please. Psalm 67 verse 1 and 2, you see God's purpose summarized in two verses. Pastor taught us this a couple of years ago. Psalms. Let's read together. God be merciful and gracious to us, and bless us, and cause his face to what? Shine on us. And amongst us, Selah. Pause and think calmly about that. That your what? Way may be known where? Upon earth. God doesn't want. Bible says, God's ways are mysterious. They are past finding out. God wants his ways to be known. Your saving power, your deliverances, your salvation among all nations. God wants to manifest a crop of sons, male and female, that are going to demonstrate deliverances and salvation among the nations. It's a company of people, brethren, and you are there in Jesus' name. So God is talking to all of us. So he wants to reveal his way, because, you know, when his way is revealed, he can channel it. Just like Moses knew his ways. So Moses was a channel. So plague after plague, when it was necessary, he was there. Deliverance after deliverance, when he needed water, he was there. God was there through Moses. Moses gave God a way to move among the children of Israel. Otherwise, there would have been a block. There would have been a disconnect. Now, notice that Moses didn't start where he ended. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 12, quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, what did he do? He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. That was Moses' way of solving a problem. It was not God's way. But the same Moses, after 40 years in the wilderness, changed. Your own will not take 40 years. We have to change and learn his ways. Okay? But the key here is this. Moses, he did wrong things like this. But his main desire, his main purpose was to do what God wanted. And you can see that in Exodus 20, 19 to 21. God came down on Mount Sinai, 20:19. And there were thunderings and lightnings and voices. Even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But look at it. And they said unto Moses, whose day? Children of Israel. Said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. He hasn't spoken to us. There is an earthquake going on. He hasn't spoken yet. What is he going to say? I beg you, go. And Moses said, next verse. Said to people, fear not. Brethren, fear not. I don't know what it is you're going through. God is saying, fear not. Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, so you will stop sinning. But look at the answer, verse 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Ultimately, the decision is ours to make. Moses went into the thick darkness. But I'm people know God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So when Moses went into the darkness, to them Moses was in darkness, but he was in light. I don't know what it is that is looking like darkness. God is saying, take that step. So long as it's the will of God for you and the word of God is backing it and God has told and spoken to you, go in there, you will find light and the way of escape. That's what God is saying, that we need to go in. You know, because here it's about knowing God. But you see, if all you are thinking about is what God is going to give you, you won't go into the darkness. Ha! The thing will swallow me up. That's the thought that will be at the back of your mind. God's not going to swallow us up in Jesus' name. All right? So we see that, and then we can now see that. So that's one level. When they drew back, Moses went in. That's knowing God's ways. It was clear. All right? Look at another example of knowing God's ways. Hebrews 11, 24 to 27 in the Message Bible. Thank you. Message Bible. Thank you. By faith, Moses, when grown, that's why we need to grow spiritually. That's what we're talking about. Refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. The key here is it, are you going to stay with sin or are you going to stay with God? Wherever God is, that's where we go. In this case, it was a hard life, so to speak. But that was the beginning. Next verse. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead. He was anticipating the payoff. There's a payoff, brethren. Our payoff, Bible says that seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. As the payoff, eternal life in full measure. All right, next verse. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going. Brethren, these are the days when our eyes must be on the one no man can see. Psalm 16, verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Verse 8. You need to be quicker than this. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Next verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Next verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. What did God show Moses? The path of life. He said, this is the way to life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The real original pleasures are in God's presence. What Satan is offering us is the counterfeit. So if you live with the original, you are a full soul. There's nothing he can use to tempt you again. As Pastor has taught us so beautifully, we need to be seen, and then we need to enter into that presence. Amen? All right, that's the will of God. Okay, so what is God saying to us? God is saying that he's asking us, what are you seeking him for? It's important. What we're seeking him for, that motive, because, you know, he's asking everybody. He asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? He asked Andrew, what seek ye? He asked the crowd that sought him. They came over on boats after he had fed them with bread and fish. And he asked them, what seek ye? And when when did you come here? They didn't come direct. When did you come here? And he told them, verily, you are not seeking me for the meat that you are seeking for the meat that perishes. You should not labor for that kind of meat. You should labor for eternal life. He rebuked them. So God is always asking, he's asking you and I now, what is the main reason why you're seeking God? Because that reason has to be adjusted in this present day. It has to be aligned in this present day. It's extremely critical. He's touching our hearts so that we can seek his purpose and not be using God as a means to meet your needs and fulfill your ambitions. Now, God will do what he's going to do for each and every one of us. But the key here is the motive. The shift in motive is critical. Look at Psalm 8, Proverbs 18, verse 1. Now, this is, it looks like a negative, but it's not. Through desire, let's read it together. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So God is saying that we need to have a desire to separate ourselves. Working with God is not a crowd business. We are a family. We are a company, but we take decisions on our own. On your own, you separate yourself and you intermeddle with God and the wisdom of God. That's what God is saying. Amen? All right? And that shift in motive, when we turn, like Moses turned. And when Moses turned, God spoke to him. The same way, when we turn in our hearts, John 7:17, then we begin to have light. Bible says God has shined. So if any man will do his will, if his will, fulfilling God's will, becomes your main purpose, then you have hit the highway. You have hit the road straight into God's heart. That is what God wants of each of us. He will then begin to show himself to you and to me. The Bible says God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not in the hand, it's in the face. So when we stop looking at the hand and start looking at the face, then God begins to shine the same light in you and I. It's called revelation knowledge. And that's what he asked the disciples. Say, who do men say that I am? I, Elijah, Jeremiah, some other prophet. Okay, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, Peter said, Son of the living God. So Peter knew God by revelation, just like Moses knew God by revelation. Amen. Thank you. Amplified. John 7:17 in Amplified. Thank you, Pastor Day. Amplified, please. If any man desires to do his will, God's, I can't hear you, brethren, God's, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself, individual, whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking from myself and of my own accord and of my own authority. It will stop being second-hand information. It will start being first-hand information. And you need first-hand to do certain things. You can't go into the thick darkness on second-hand information. Oga Moses, where are you? We can't see you. Oga Moses, something has happened to him. Everybody went back. But Joshua, when he went up mountain, Joshua followed him. He didn't go there just because, let me just go there and follow him. There was revelation. Understand, revelation is the beginning of everything. When we know God, as we will see later, as we go on, we know God at different levels. Okay? But that light is important because it helps to see where you are going. You see what God is saying. So you understand that you and God are together and you and God are a majority. You're not looking for somebody to, you don't need people to join. You know, many times when the crowd are blind, many times, they're operating on their senses. They're not looking at what God, they can't perceive what God is saying. So all they can see is what you did, what I do. Okay, don't let me be different from you. Don't let me show you up. Don't let me, no. We amongst ourselves, we set our own standard amongst ourselves. Who has believed on him? You know, and we begin to, okay, you know, among us, we form our own club. And in that club, we are the only ones in our club, and God is not in that club. What club are you? And God is not there. You need to be on God's side. Like Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? It is the time to be on the Lord's side and leave the crowd. Leave the crowd now. That's what God is saying. Amen? Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. I have a beautiful rendition in the New Living Testament, but give it to me in the NIV. For the Lord giveth, NIV. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me read what I have in the New Living Testament. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. Amen. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. What you're singing about. Amen. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, fair, and you will find the right way to go in. So what I'm trying to say is this. God is the one that gives understanding and wisdom and light so that you can know the way you're supposed to go in. And when you have a need, he's not going to stay afar off. He's going to be right there. A very present help in time of need. He's not going to let you get there and then you are looking for him. He's already there before you got there. And the light is, as you are thinking it, he will provide the light. That's our God. He's a faithful God. Amen. Now, since God is love, 1 John 4:8. Amen. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't he? Therefore, love is the way. Love is the truth. Love is the life. Okay? The way is love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Amplified. But earnestly, 1 Corinthians, thank you. 1 Corinthians 12, 31, Amplified. But let me read. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the highest gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and highest of them all. That way is love. All right? So that's the way. That's the way. So understanding and knowing God, or understanding and knowing love, is not just knowing a way in your head, or having a mental understanding, or having a formula that you can apply to life's different challenges. No, that's not what it is. It is a progressive experience that produces a transformation in us. So we come to know God by experience. So initially, when we get born again, we know God by witness in our spirits. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Okay? Right. Let's read together. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So what is God saying here? When you believe, only you know that you are born again. Sometimes we say this often. My spirit told me. Something just told me. Like Pastor was giving us a testimony one day when it was by the side of the road. He was fixing his tire, and something just said to him, "Step aside." Who was that? God. How? Witness of the Spirit. And just step aside, and woof! That lorry just passed by. Okay? So we're talking about witness. The children of Israel had the witness. They saw the axe. As they saw the axe, it bore witness with them that, this God is mighty. This God is our God. But that was what it was. It was a witness. They couldn't reproduce it. They didn't understand how it came to pass. They just experienced it and they knew it was God. So that's what we are when we get born again. You know? But we are supposed to grow. But some people like Samson did not grow. Samson stayed there without witness and was doing what he liked, when he liked, how he liked, if he liked. And it was until it was too late that Samson woke up and now said, "Oh God." How many times could he have said God all in between? 20 years. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. We will not indulge in the flesh. Amen. All right. So we see that the next level of knowing God is knowing God in our minds by revelation from the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Let's read together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, what? Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. This is revelation. There is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation, you know, is seeing it. The wisdom is the instruction to walk in it. The two are together. So we're talking about the apostolic and the prophetic. They're together there. But you know, once you are operating under covering of the fathers, you begin to operate the same spirit that is upon the house. Amen. And that same spirit now begins. So it's now not enough. It's not enough anymore to say, my spirit, just check whether I have peace about it. You need confirmation from the Word. It is the proof that you are growing up. You are now you want to know God, in a more clearer and more defined way. You are not satisfied with, because that one, it can be duplicated by the devil. I'll give you a testimony. When I was a young Christian, the devil showed me where. We were supposed to, when they taught us to pray, we used to pray three times a day. You find time to pray. Then in the night, we used to pray at night. And you're supposed to pray just for like 10 minutes. And then before you go to bed, pray in the spirit. Okay? And, but you know, you use your feeling. Use your feeling to gauge whether the prayer is okay. Whether a prayer is enough. It's a terrible place to be. Pastor Dave is laughing. It's a terrible place to be. You'll be using feeling instead of using instruction. So I will pray, No, and after a while, I'll pray 20 minutes before the feeling comes. 30 minutes before the feeling comes. Brethren, 2 hours before the feeling comes. I'm telling you, sometimes 3 hours. I was afraid to sleep. Because if I sleep, it may not be the will of God. Maybe I won't wake up. Can you see how the devil gets us into problem? We're talking about growing up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. I didn't even know. I just came from Holy Spirit. You know, I used to pray for hours. I was in oppression. I had to go. We used to have house fellowship. So I went to my house fellowship leader. And I told him. And he said, he doesn't think that is God, who? That I should just pray. I should just pray and go to bed. After, just pray and pray in the spirit. Just pray for a short while. Then go to bed. And I just obeyed his instruction that they had told me before. But I decided to use my feeling to show that I'm praying properly. You are competing against nothing. And then the devil robs you of sweet sleep. And what should be a delightful experience, you know, sometimes you sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you wake up again in the morning to go to school. Can you imagine? Because you are using feelings. Brethren, don't use feelings, though. Obey instruction. Okay? All right. Amen. All right? So we see that example, all right, of knowing God by revelation of God's word. Okay? We saw that in Moses as well. And ultimately, where God is taking us is to experience his resurrection power in our mortal flesh. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Amplified. But we read that this morning, you know, 3, 10 and 11. Just very good. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, so that I may share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope. Next verse. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out of among the dead, even while in the body. He's talking about deeper, is a continuous process of deeper revelation with power to walk in the revelation through suffering. And so the revelation comes, but then you need the power, and that power you only get by suffering self-denial of what are legitimate pleasures to give enough time to prayer and the word, so that that prayer and word will go into your mortal flesh and put life in there, so that with that life you can then obey God. Look at Luke 22, verse 40. Luke 22. Verse 40. Let's read together. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. That's the instruction. Next verse. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. So he told them what to do. But like we just said, it's individual. He went a stone cast. He was not at the same level as them. Crowd effect to say, we are all the same. He knew his own level and understood that what God is requiring of them is not what God is requiring of him. And what God will ask of him is not what God will ask of them. So he went a stone cast. Some of us need to go a stone cast away for some people. And stop thinking that you are the same with some people. Even though we are all brethren, we are not the same. The stone of revelation that has been revealed to you, has it been revealed to them? You will be judged by the stone that God has shown you. So he went that extra mile and prayed. Next verse. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Next verse. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Next verse. And being in agony, he prayed what? More earnestly. That's the passion in prayer, brethren. This is how we should be praying. Good morning, Jesus, every morning. God have mercy on all of us. Amen. The way you hear mommy praying, that's the way we should all be praying. Each day is the same. Each day is the same. There must be a revelation. It's like, I'm going into prayer, Lord, pick me up on the other side. That's how it, you know, it's not like, this is how I feel today. God will strengthen us all. As we wait upon, he will renew our strength. We'll mount up on eagle's wings. That's mommy's parting shot. Mount up on eagle's wings. I'm going. And that's it. And come out on the other side. It's the same way. Praying more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Next verse. And when he rose up from the prayer and was coming to Zion, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were discouraged. And tells them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray. Let's enter into temptation. Before he said, lest ye, you know, lest now you have entered. This one, you have already entered, but let's just go. No, God will have mercy on us. So what are we saying here? We're saying here that this is another level of knowing God. So we know God by witness, we know God by revelation, and we know God by experience of the injection of the life of God into our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. When the life is made manifest in our flesh, it is then we can carry out obedience to the instruction. Otherwise, you will not be able to obey the instruction. If Jesus did not pray his flesh into submission, do you think he would have gone through? He prayed the first time. There's life there, but there's not enough. He prayed the second time. Much better now. Have the ascendancy, but it's still not enough. We must make sure. Brethren, the quantity of the prayer is also important. The frequency of the number of hours that you pray per week is not the same. As you are growing up spiritually, you need to pray more as led by the Spirit. It's something God will tell you to do. As you know, you pray for your finances, pray. You need to pray. Pray for your spiritual parents. You pray. Yeah, God will tell you to pray. If you like, don't do it. But it's going to be asked of you. You need to pray. And those hours must be fulfilled for the flesh to die. To the so that you can obey God to the degree that you should. Otherwise, something will fall. You can ask me. Yes. Because everything is operating by God is building a spiritual system where everything is being upheld by spiritual power. People are being controlled by the power coming out of your spirit. And as we grow spiritually, we will invade. As you grow, you invade your family. And then you move out and invade your workplace. Then you move out and you invade your community. Then you invade the nation. You take over the airways. They will try to do it and they cannot do it. Pastor was sharing with us this morning. They came very early. The Bible says so. They came in the night. But even though they came in the night, they were not early enough. They were not early because the man has been praying before then. The heavens were open over Dothan. Place of two wells, grace and mercy. He was open over Dothan. So anytime they came, they were already, the infrared had picked them up. That we have enemy territory. We have enemy around. How many are they? Give us a number. Size them up. Pam, pam, pam. Okay, fine. Just like a scan. You say when you see a scan on CCTV, a scan in the heart. That this is what is going on. He said, no problem. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. But the servant knew. Because he didn't know God at that level. But he's available. What God is saying today is available. Don't stay at the measure that you are. Let's press in. Let's push in. Let's lay hold. That's what God is saying. Amen? Amen. Now, this is the function of eating of the tree of life. Is a function of eating of the tree of life. If you don't eat of the tree of life, let me put it this way, the more the measure of the eternal life in our spirit, souls, and bodies, like Pastor has taught us, the more light that shines within, and the more we know Him. So it's a measure. It's how frequently, how fervently, how deeply, how faithfully, how consistently you eat of the tree of life. It's not so you stay connected to the tree all day long. So you carry that tree along with you in your heart. That's the will of God. Amen. All right. And that light shines in our darkness. Amen. So this is the key. Look at John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Please give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. And the Lord, John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Lord have mercy. Brethren, I've prepared for you today. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, or is unreceptive to it. Once there is light on the inside, it doesn't matter how much darkness is around, we will invade it. I don't care how much darkness is around. That's what God is telling us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8:12 in the Message Bible. I am the light of the world. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. I provide plenty of light for you to live in. There's abundant light to live in. So you can live in all. Once you live in light, the darkness will flee. It has to flee. Because the initiative is with the light. Amen. All right. Now, why is this important? God's desire is that we understand and know Him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Message Bible. Why? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Is that the Message Bible? In Jesus' name, you have life. Message. Thank you. God's message. Don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Brethren, wisdom is not the end. Don't let heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. Next verse. If you brag, brag of this. And this only. That you what? Understand and know me. I'm God. And I act in loyal love. I do what's right. I set things right and fair. And I delight in those who do the same things. These are my trademarks. So God has trademark. God has trademark. So when God does something, there's a trademark on it. When God owns something, there's a trademark on it. These are trademark saints. That understanding and knowing God is a trademark that they have been with God. Amen? So this is what without this trademark of love, our Christianity, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Give it to me in the Amplified. Verse 1 to 3. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels and have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Stop. What is he saying? He is saying that the purpose of the gong is not to be making noise. It's supposed to be giving a certain sound. Is supposed to be like a harmony that is being put together by the Holy Spirit. But because there is not love there, it is noise. It is off key. It is off key. Because it is not a certain sound, it is not going to provide the required response from the people that hear it. So it is meaningless. May our lives not be meaningless. May our prayer not be meaningless. If there's no love, that's what it means. It means there's no meaning. It is making sound. We can hear the noise, but the meaning, the harmony, the fluency, everything is gone. That will not be our portion. So we need to put love there. If we don't put love there, it's meaningless. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers and the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. What is he saying? He's saying that you are without substance. No substance. In the spirit realm, when it counts, you can't be counted. May God, may that not be our portion. We need to get love, brethren, so that you can have substance. So that when you talk, your words carry. It has to carry. When you pray for your children and say, the Lord bless you, it's just a simple Lord bless you, but those words carry weight because of your love. That's what, next verse. And if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love where? Being developed continuously in me, I gain nothing. What's that? It means that there's no reward. The first one, there's no meaning. Second one, there's no substance. Third one, there's no reward. God's going to measure it by how much love was in it. May God have mercy on us. So God is telling us that this is fundamental 001 course. We're not going anywhere without the love of God. That is the way. We must understand and know that is the way. Amen. Now, the second thing is that in these days of adversity, we must be strong to do exploits. Just like Moses did exploits, Jesus did exploits, we also are destined to do exploits. But the key is the love of God. John 14, verse 12 tells us, the Lord Jesus told us, you know, he said that, you know, that if we believe on him, greater works shall we do, because he goes on to the Father. Amen? And the Bible says in the book of Daniel, he says that they that are strong, those that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. So we are in a season of exploits, and that's what God is about to bring forth, you know, in our lives. So God wants us to know that, okay? That's the key. As in this day, in these terrible days, God's going to keep us safe, but the way is love. That's why we read Psalm 91 again by the Spirit. Amen? No, we set our love upon him so that he will deliver us. Amen? Third reason, we must daily, habitually, and progressively replace the satanic nature in our souls and bodies with eternal life. We must occupy. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Give it to me in the NIV, please. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Next verse. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you and I will live. What's the Bible telling us here? It's telling us that in growing in love, we crucify the sin nature. Because there are only two trees in the Garden of Eden. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. And if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says that Eve looked at it, saw that it was good for food. It was pleasing to the eyes and was designed to make one wise. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the way you judge. Those kind of people cannot understand when God says, love your enemy. Pray for them that despitefully use you. It doesn't make any sense. The carnal mind cannot process that. Or you read your Bible about people like Phineas in Numbers 25. The Bible says that they were gathered there in front of Moses. People were weeping. No, let's go there quickly. Numbers 25 from verse 6. Numbers 25 verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of God. Who were in repentance. And you brought in a Midianitish woman. And when, next verse. And when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, saw it, he didn't talk to Moses. He didn't ask permission. He rose up from among God and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. And he thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed for the children of Israel. The man just committed a double murder. It's a double murder. Next verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, and I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. See the revelation he had. He saw ahead that is only the two of them is better. It's better for the two of them to perish than for all the other people, innocent people, to suffer. Immediately. It was immediately accepted in that revelation. Next verse. Wherefore, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Give Phinehas a clap of offering. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just being a priest. It's being a priest and knowing God. And understanding God and his ways. But you know, if you look at it from the outside, he killed the people of the Lord. There was more going to happen, you don't know. So that's why we need to know God. Because when God is going one direction, you'll be wondering, what's going on? It doesn't make any sense to you. You need to know God so that it can make sense to you. So it can flow intelligently like Phinehas did, independent of Moses. So he was standing in his place. That's the will of God for us. Amen. How are we going to do it? Notice that Samson allowed his seven locks to be shaved off. Know that Samson is the type of Christ. Angel appeared to his mommy. Angel appeared to the mommy of Lord Jesus. Incidentally, angel appeared to John the Baptist's mommy too. So when in this category of people whom angel appeared to their mommy, you and I are not there. Except maybe you can come and tell us later. But this is an exclusive club of people whom angels appear to their mommy. Okay? And said wonderful things about them. But Samson allowed his locks. His locks were the most precious thing that he had. But he treated it with disdain. The things that are precious to you, that you're worth spiritually, are you treating it with disdain? Are you treating it with levity? Are you giving it the priority that it deserves? This man played with his seven locks. And for a long time, he looked like he was flying like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. I borrowed that from Muhammad Ali. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. No. You don't. You flee the appearance of sin. It's not the sin, no. It's the appearance of it. If you are looking at the sin there, you are no longer obeying the instruction. You are under the influence of the sin itself. The fact that you are even staying there means that A power has grounded you there. No, I know you think you are in control. You are not in control. Because if you were in control under the Holy Spirit, you would do exactly what the scripture said. So not knowing what the scripture says, or not praying to put enough power of what the scripture says inside you, is your fault. It's my fault. Anything is your, you know, call a spade a spade. It's your fault. And the fact that you escaped once, twice, three times, four times, it doesn't mean always be like that. Ask Samson. She asked him first time, where is your power? This was not even the first girl that would ask him that. Can you imagine? You know, you have a way of getting into relationship with the people that are asking you, how can I render you impotent? How can I render you useless? And the Bible says Samson loved Delilah. He loved her, but she didn't love him. May God have mercy and be taking emotional love all over the place. Develop the love of God. And love God and be in His presence. And that way there will be all the gizgis will stop. Because in His presence there is fullness of joy. It will just be doing wah, wah. Washing your heart, washing your soul. You'll just be at peace. There will be no fret. God is in control. It's not just a cliche. It's an experience. That's not what Samson did. So he didn't prioritize. Eventually, one day, he wasn't fast enough. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't quick enough. Satan set him up and shaved off his locks. He will not shave our locks in Jesus' name. John the Baptist put ambition for ministry. God said, change, change, change your motivation. He didn't change. He didn't change. He. You know, brethren, a time comes when instruction demands that you change. And your instruction changes. What he was doing before Jesus came could not necessarily be what he was doing after Jesus came. There would have been an instruction to that effect. To submit. To follow after. Who instructed Bartimaeus to follow after? Who instructed Andrew to follow after? It's in the heart. It's in the heart. So to you and I, he's doing something good on the outside, but he's evil as far as God is concerned. Because it's not God's way. If you are not gathering, you are scattering. May we not scatter in Jesus' name. We will gather. We will join. We will be on the right side of them that gather. Amen. We will obey instruction. That's what it's talking about. So how do we do it? Number one, we choose the fear of the Lord daily. We've heard this is not a new instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 29. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Something we choose every day. We say it, but it's not just words. It's something that must be an experience. I know, like what the Bible says of Moses, that fear of the Lord, you set the Lord before you. So you're always seeing the Lord. You're seeing the one who is invisible right there. Amen. And that is that fear that now connects you to the tree of life. Look at Proverbs 14:27. Connects us to the tree of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snare of death. So life is bringing life in increasing measure. That determination. What is the fear of the Lord? Honesty of heart and submission to instruction. It's really important. Okay? All right. The Bible says instruction. No. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is thy life. The next thing is, we are going. So the first thing, the first lock that we're not going to allow Satan to take is the fear of the Lord. The next one is prayer. And we pray in tongues frequently. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We know that at least four times a day. Then, at every opportunity and in every temptation. Okay? But that, the foundation of that is travail, which we saw in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In Ephesians 6, 18, Pastor Dwee shared from Romans 8, 26 earlier on, where it says that Holy Spirit takes together to pray for us, you know, with groanings which cannot be uttered. No, so he's praying for us, and that's what we're doing. Good morning, Jesus. In the morning, we pray to birth, to release the power of God. It's that power that goes into the air and into our mortal flesh to crucify the flesh for that day. And if you are someone who, in addition, should be praying, you should pray another phase on top of that. You didn't say anything. And if it's you, it depends. It depends. How will you know? If that's what you do and it's fine, then that's fine. But if it's not working and something's going on, then you need to do that. Because it means that you have grown up and God expects more from you and I. That's the way it is. Okay? The next one is binding the devil, which we do. I mean, now we bind the devil when we're praying. Anytime we'll watch and pray during the day, we bind the devil. Confessing the word. Now we do that when we confess for the fruit of the Spirit, when we confess for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. All those things are now, it's the same seven pillars, but you know, it's the same seven locks, but they are now distributed, you know, in a way that, you know, you can start with the very simple, which is to pray for the fear of the Lord, to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can pray, you know, for the fruit of the Spirit. You do that, those four minimum prayers every day. That's the minimum. Then, with the background of travail in Good Morning Jesus, and then you also then move on to meditating on the Word, daily Bible reading, listen to apostolic fathers, you know, and then you practice the love of God, practice being patient with people, being washing people's feet. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you very much. 1 John 5:16. If any man sees brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and shall give life for them that sin not unto death. Amen. So we ask life for them. First of all, we confess their sins. We ask life for them. And then we pray for them in tongues. Okay, so they are mixed now. You know, the confession with the praying in the Spirit all together. Okay, so that we can achieve the effect that the Holy Spirit wants to achieve, you know, which is to remove the sin and give life to the person so that the person can then do the things. Remember, it's a function of life. So if somebody is behaving in a way that is untoward, it's because of the life that he doesn't have. So the response is to give life. Amen? That's what God is saying. So we walk in love. We're patient. We practice love deliberately. We discern. No, what we need to do at different times and discern what is the priority here so that we can do what is priority. And then fasting and leading a fasted life. And when we do all these things, love will bring us into a place where we are filled with all the fullness of God. Let us pray. All of him. That heart adjustment so we can know God from just a witness to knowing him by revelation and then to begin to know him by experience. The frequency with which you eat from the tree of life varies from level to level. Ultimately, once every hour, all day long, at the thought level, at every opportunity, in every temptation. To maintain that constant flow of life into the mortal flesh. So you can do the actions that you need to do. Walking in the Spirit enhances your prayer life. And your prayer life enhances your walk in the Spirit and your Bible study. They all work together. It's a system. And that system must be working fluently. We work and operate it. And then we build our physical lives around that. Rather than allowing our physical life to interfere, we build the spiritual and then put the physical around it. God will help us. That's why He has come to talk to us today. I love you, Lord, greater than anything. I love you, Lord, more than my heart can sing. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord,
more than myself. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Lift my head.
I lift my
head. I lift my
head. I am a sacrifice. I lift my head. My body and soul, the price. I lift my hand.
I lift my hand.
All that I am is yours. I lift my hands. I lift my hands. I lift my hands.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is my song of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I worship you all my days. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let my life give praise. Hallelujah. 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 Let's raise up our right hand unto the Lord and then put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent to us today, showing us that in this season of your glory, it is time for us to understand and know your ways more intimately, to move from the outer court, where we know you by the witness in our hearts, to the holy place where we know you by revelation of your word, into the holiest of all where we know you by reproducing the life of the Son of God in our mortal flesh, so we can enter into obedience in everything that you ask of us. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord. Do I receive mercy to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, so that my life will bring you worship. My life will have meaning. My life will have substance. And my life will be worthy of reward in the name of Jesus. I thank you for helping me to be faithful unto the very end, so that through me and all my other brethren, your glory will be manifest to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Rapa Jebakate baya, jekanomas, rabakatebes, ringedebe, aboa papa, kotebal, mekedebedikanama, mekedebediko kotebede, mapapapapa, rababas, rebebebekatoa, robobom, pekedebediko kotebebedon, balea, robobom, pekedebabasan, robokondemasa, mapapakototo, sekedebedikanamaya, mapeko, jedebesota, rubinema. Also, if you're here, the word of God has gone forth under the covenant of our fathers. If you need healing, you need provision, the word of God has gone forth. Send that word. The Bible says it confirmed the word with signs and wonders. We ask for mercy to follow that word. Just say, Lord, I receive. Father, we send the word of healing into the souls and the bodies of everyone that their hand is raised up. We, Lord, thank you because the anointing destroys the yoke of infirmity and life flows from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, flushing out infirmity and ministering strength and health. In Jesus' name, amen.
So grateful to you for your great mercies attending us in this time in your presence today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing once again to visit with us. Thank you for your grace and your graciousness towards us throughout this service today. And Lord, Holy Spirit, excellent helper, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, thank you for accomplishing all the will of God in our hearts today, giving us, Lord God, words of wisdom, words of understanding, so we will, Lord God, be turned, Lord God, back into the way and walk in that way, bringing forth a light, bringing forth the fruits thereof to the praise of your glory. And Lord God, in this day, O Lord, to the blessing of the nations of the earth, we thank you for your servants whom you've used and the word that has come forth. We say we take fast hold of instruction, O Lord, for we understand that instruction is our life. And so under the covering of the fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, we declare, say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We are above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. So we're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the imminent glory of the Spirit without measure, in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of John, and of the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell anybody you'll get to the other side and there'll be no bones broken. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.